Tonight, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. This morning I talked about three great needs that America had. One was for our country to have deliverance from its main enemy, which is Satan. The second one was for Christians to do righteous, because our righteousness can be a restraining force against the evil in this world. And then the third one was for people just to accept Christ for salvation. And we all need those things. But I want to kind of hone in on the second point of this morning's message for us. In order for us to be righteous, we need to be Christ-like. In order for us to be Christ-like, we need to be holy. And we're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 25. And this is Peter's call, or a call to be holy, a call to holy living. In our passage tonight, in verse 15, it says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be" — where? — "in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you." You know, Peter journeyed from defeat spiritually to spiritual victory. And he's a model for all of us to follow. He went from denying the Lord, and we know on the night that Christ was betrayed and he was tried that Peter denied him three times. God told him that. But then, that same year at Pentecost, he was the lead preacher when they were preaching the Pentecost message. And he went from denying the Lord to declaring the gospel. God brings about a change. The Holy Spirit brings about a change. Once we understand who God is and we accept him in faith and we follow him by faith, there will be a change. And he went from denying the Lord to declaring the gospel. He went from pride, because he says, "That's not going to happen. I want to stop that from happening, Jesus." We know those stories. But to pointing others to Christ. And then lastly, he went from anger or from wrath to walking as Jesus walked. Peter had a transformation. Have you? Do you know him as your Savior? Has the Holy Spirit changed you from what you were to what God wants you to be and hath quickened you? This epistle begins with praise. In the first couple of verses of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 5, Peter writes this. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter had personal experience with abundant mercy. I think everyone in here tonight understands the mercy of God. We've received the mercy of God. We received the grace of God. And we know that God can work miracles in our life. He also learned to look beyond the trials that he was going through to triumph. These letters were basically, he's talking about, I'm going to die. He was told by Christ that he was going to be crucified, and he wanted to be crucified upside down because he did not want to be crucified as Christ was, to honor him. And so Peter has gone from this issue of I can't do something for God to I can do all things for God. So here tonight we see three things in this passage about holiness and about holy living. The first thing we need to understand is that God is holy. God is holy. It should be verse 15. I just put a typo. I can't see anymore. Okay? But it says, as we which hath called you is holy. See, we can't be holy until we're called to be holy and we respond to that call. God's holiness is declared throughout the Bible. Moses learned that God's presence is holy. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, you know, he goes and he sees the burning bush. And then he stops to see. God's going to put things in your way to grab your attention. And when God puts something special in your way to grab your attention, you better look. You better look. We've been going through the book of John on Wednesday night and how the answer is right in front of them. Christ is doing all these things that only God could do, but they still didn't believe. So Moses looks and he says, hey, why isn't this bush burned? Why is it on fire and why is this bush not burned? And he hears a voice. And in verse 5 it says, and he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Folks, God's presence is holy. Amen. It's holy. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Folks, we need a good, healthy fear of who God is. We need to understand that when we pray, that we are in the presence of God. We need to understand that when we worship, we are in the presence of God. We need to understand that when we're ministering, we're doing things for God in the presence of God. And that presence is holy. And what we are doing is holy. That's how we live a holy life, is when we have an attitude of understanding and a perspective of that God is holy. Moses found out that God's presence is holy. Isaiah learned that God's person is holy. And we see in Isaiah chapter 6, he says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. He hears the seraphims talking. He sees all the glory of God. And in verse 3 of Isaiah 6, he says this. He says, and one cried unto another, these seraphims, he says, and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. God's presence is holy. God's person is holy. And John learned that God's power is also holy. In Revelation chapter 4, verses 8 and also in verse 11, we see another scene in heaven. And we see these four beasts. And it says, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Folks, we cannot respond to the call for holy living. We can't do holiness unless we understand that the God who's called us that is holy, and we respect that. It doesn't happen any other way. In verse 11 it says, Thou, it kept on saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Folks, we need to understand that we were created for God's glory. We were created to praise Him. We were created to do what He wants us to do, to do His will.
Amen.
He which hath called you is holy. His holiness is all the way through the Bible. God's holiness is unchanging. He doesn't lie. He doesn't change. He's forever. He's eternal. He's all powerful. He's the God of all. And His holiness doesn't change. Men wants to do that. They want to change the holiness of God into something of corruptible beast and fowls of the air and everything else, and worship the creation more than the Creator. Folks, America needs God's holiness.
Amen.
And for them to understand God's holiness, we need to be holy. We need to be holy. We will stand before the Holy One in the future. In Romans chapter 14, verse 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That judgment seat is for believers. That judgment seat is for people who have received Christ, to show what we have done on this earth, on this side of eternity, for that side of eternity. And what motivation it is. Folks, the motivation for all of our service should be the holiness of God. It should be for the glory of God. And it says that everyone may receive of the things done in this body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. If you don't know Christ, you will not go to this judgment. You will go to the great white throne judgment, and you will be utterly cast out into the lake of fire when that time comes. You think hell is bad now? The lake of fire is even worse. Folks, we need to understand that God is holy. And when we worship Him, we pray to Him, and we serve Him, we need to do that from a perspective of holy living. So, God is holy. His holiness is unchanging. And we will stand here. Our goal, His goal for our life, is holy living. Is holy living. In verse 16 it says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Folks, this is an unconditional command. This is what we're supposed to be. You don't get to pick and choose what version of holiness you want to do. Your version of holiness is God's version of holiness. Your standard for holiness is God's standard for holiness. Your vision for holiness is what all the saints, time past and time present and time future, have seen. We need a good look at that. You know, we have a whole bunch of goals in our life. If you don't have a goal, you won't accomplish anything if you don't have a target. But a lot of us have mistaken goals. And we think that goals are success and wealth and public praise. Christ upbraided the church at Laodicea. He says, I am rich and have need of nothing. He says, you're poor and miserable and naked and blind. Paul warns Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. He says, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds. You cannot be holy with a corrupt mind. You can't go from here and say, praise ye the Lord, and go home and turn on the internet and look at that filth that's out there. You can't say, praise God and glorify Him and be spotless before Him as the bride of Christ and go and turn on some of the... Go to some of the movies and go to some of the TV shows that are out there. You can't say that you're holy and buy into what the world says is acceptable. We've got to be different. Come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. It says, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. Folks, God's truth is holy. Supposing that what? Gain is godliness, he says, from such, withdraw thyself. Goals based on earthly gain will disappoint you. You know why? They can't satisfy that empty hole in your life that only God can fulfill. So the goal of holy living is because Christ is holy, God is holy, we need to be holy too. And we need to have the right goals in mind. Holy living identifies us as the children of God. It is expected by God. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. And what is the very first word? Holy. God told the nation of Israel in the wilderness, he says, when you do a sacrifice, that sacrifice needs to be without blemish. It needs to be acceptable to God. Folks, our service and our life needs to be a sacrifice to God, and it needs to be acceptable to Him. Don't mix the world and holiness together. They are like oil and water. They don't combine. They don't combine. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God expects us. Well, it's just too hard. Then let God have your life and surrender to it. And let the Holy Spirit work inside of you. Because we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. When Solomon built the temple, and he prayed for the glory of God to show himself, the Shekinah glory of God came into the temple and drove everybody away. They couldn't stand for the intense light of that. Folks, we need our lives like that. It's easy to say. It's a challenge to do. But folks, as we said this morning, words don't cut it. It takes words plus action. We need to actually believe that we can do this. We need to believe what the Word says. Holy living identifies us as the children of God, and it's expected. And it should be examples of God's will. In verse 2 of Romans 12, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. We keep on having to come back to the point that we have to change the way we think. You can't do godly things unless you think on God. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I have a secret for you. God's will for your life is for you to be holy. That happens after God's will for your life is to be saved. When you're holy, you'll be conformed to the same image from glory to glory. That's it. Add to your faith all these things. Have the fruit of the Spirit. Our holy living is expected from God. We need to have holy living as an example of God's will working in your life. Peter tells us to follow Jesus' example of holy living. In verse 21, there's the call. It says here, it says, "For even hereunto were ye called." Called to do what? Called to have a relationship with God and called to be holy. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should what? Follow His steps. Folks, don't go to some place that Jesus wouldn't go to. Don't say words that Jesus wouldn't say. Don't do things that Jesus wouldn't do. It's more than a bracelet. It's a lifestyle. It's being an example of God's will. It's doing what God expects us to do. And it is a call. There's the condition. The condition's in verse 22. What's the condition? "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." You know, we need to think kindly of others. We need to think lovely of others. We need to have compassion on others. We can't be judgmental of others. Christ did not revile. He did not turn. He did not take vengeance. He will eventually in judgment. But when He was on earth, He did not do that. And it says what? It says He did no sin. Folks, if you know that you're willingly doing sin, you're out of the will of God. And oh, by the way, your holiness has a great big splot on it. And God doesn't want that. And it's not acceptable to Him. And you need to grow up and do what God, what is acceptable to God. So we see the call. We see the condition. The condition. Verse 23, we see the context. We see the context. "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not." "But committed himself to" who? "To him that judgeth righteously." Folks, you can't be holy unless you're saved. You can't be holy unless you're following Him. You can't be holy unless you're committed. You can't be holy until you respond to the call. You can't be holy unless you have the right conditions in your life. You can't be holy unless you understand the context of what holiness is all about. You can't be holy unless you understand the cost that Christ paid for us. Yeah. And verse 24 says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed." Oh folks, we need to get a good vision of the cost of Calvary. What Christ gave up for us. How much He loved us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever is capable, we're all capable of this. "But whosoever believeth Him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
Amen.
And folks, we need to understand the call and the condition and the context and the cost. And it should bring about the change. There needs to be a change. In verse 25, "For ye were" what? "As sheep going astray." Past tense. Past tense. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are present tense, now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Oh, folks. Do you have that goal of holiness in your life tonight? It's more than a word. It's a way of life. It's a change that others can see and will be acceptable to God. Thing is, we can't do it. Grace bridges the gap. Grace bridges the gap. In verse 17, it says, "And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye what? Know." Folks, we need to know God's grace. And to know it is to act on it. We need to know God's grace. That ye were what? Not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. You know, focusing on God's holiness brings conviction of sin. You know, when you put on makeup, or, you know, you have those makeup mirrors. And what are those makeup mirrors? First of all, they're concave and they what? Magnify. And all of a sudden your nose, which was that big, is now this big. And then there's a light on it. So you can see every little pimple and imperfection there. God's got His mirror on you tonight. It's called the Word of God. We're supposed to look in that Word, that law of liberty. And we need to focus on God's holiness. Folks, if we focus on God's holiness, we shouldn't want to sin in the first place. We shouldn't want to get dirty. You know, how much you go wash your car. And here in Texas, you wash a car, you're probably guaranteed you'll get rain that day. But are you like me? You go wash your car and you come up to a mud puddle and you go real slow through it.
Yep.
So it doesn't sweat up. And then somebody comes by and goes... We take so much care to get something that we clean up and try to keep it clean. Folks, we need to take that much care on who God has cleaned up and keep it clean. And keep it clean. See, we can't bridge the gap between us and God. Isaiah 44, 64 verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we do all, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind has taken us away." We can't bridge the gap. We can't bridge the gap through religious ceremony. We can't bridge the gap. You might be able to come to church all spruced up and everything right and smelling good and everything else, but are you just like the Pharisees that God called out and said, "You're white as sepulchres filled with dead man's bones"? You know your spiritual condition tonight. Those listening on the internet, you know your spiritual condition tonight. If you're full of dead things, get rid of it. Oh, if you noticed a couple of days ago, there was a dead deer out there. It was roadkill. Went out there and that stench was horrible. It was horrible. And I got it in my nostrils. I couldn't get it out. And Angie's giving me hand sanitizer and this, trying to get it out. Folks, if we're dead inside, we smell God. We stink. And it doesn't matter how many times you come to church or what you do in your own strength. It's not going to work. You know, Christ called out the Pharisees. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, he says, "But I say unto you that except your righteousness or your holiness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Religious ceremony won't get you there. religious ceremony. There are people that are called holiness people. And I'll tell you what, they might be holy in their church, but I've seen what they do outside. Folks, holiness is a way of life that only God can give you. Grace bridges the gap between sinners and the holy God. In Romans chapter 5, verses 20 through 21, I'll close with this. It says, "Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound." So we understand what sin's really all about. So it looks sinful to us. So we don't want that in our lives, especially as Christians. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace is the only way that we can do holy living. God wants us to act like Him, and He gives us the grace to do it if you accept it. If you receive it as a gift and you put it in your life. Holy living cannot be achieved through human effort. You might try it, but you're going to fall short, and it's going to frustrate you. Holy living is produced by the Holy Spirit living within. And as I close, the Holy Spirit brings holiness to those yielded to Him. So tonight, are you yielded to God? Yield your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Yield yourselves to God and your members as instruments of righteousness to God in Romans chapter 6. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That is the call of God. If you're not holy, don't leave here tonight until you get that right.